This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We welcome you to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We live in a crazy, mixed-up world where wrong is right and right is challenged as being wrong. For the past few weeks, we have been studying the words of the Apostle Paul, who has been giving good advice on Christian living in such a culture. Well, today we will close these thoughts with a practical to-do list for the future. Please stay tuned.
How do you keep your head on straight in a crazy, mixed-up world? I invite you to stay with us today and hear what God's Word has to say and how to do just that. We begin this service in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank and praise you for your greatness and your goodness, for your forgiveness and faithfulness, for your power and your patience, for your wisdom and your holy word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we worship today, and may you be honored and glorified in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It only takes a quick glance at the newspaper or the evening news or watching a television show or getting into a few conversations with people around you to see that it is a crazy mixed-up world in which we live. It's a world that sometimes feels like it's been turned upside down, constantly changing, where it seems that wrong is now called right and right is now called wrong. A world filled with all kinds of unhealthy messages that can get a person so mixed up and confused or depressed. It's a world of people who challenge your core beliefs and values as a follower of Jesus Christ. So my question is, how do you keep your head on straight in a crazy, mixed up world and not get all turned around and mixed up and depressed about it? Well, God's counsel to you today comes through the hand of a pastor named Paul, who was working with some folks called the Colossians, who found themselves struggling to keep their heads on straight in their crazy mixed-up world. In fact, it's when you think about it, it's always been a crazy mixed-up world, as long as human beings are involved with it, with our sinfulness. They were being challenged by the culture around them and some strange spiritual teachings that were challenging their core beliefs. So he wrote them a letter in order to help them. Today, we're at the closing section of this letter. And as is typical of Paul in his closings, he gives a little to-do list for the future. And I wanted to take a look at what he put at the top of his to-do list for them. It's in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He writes to them, "Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving." First of all, that word devote, you know what that means, don't you? It's giving yourself over to something, to continue steadfastly in it, persistently keep at it. Think of all the things in our lives that we devote ourselves to. Husbands are devoted to their wives. We're devoted to our kids. We're devoted to sports or athletics or studies. Some of us might say, I'm devoted to my job. Someone else may say, I'm devoted to my grandchildren. And Paul says, well, you know what devotion is, so devote yourself to prayer. It's a big deal, this thing called prayer. All through the book of Acts and in all the letters of the New Testament, constantly seeing people there being told, pray, pray. So why devote myself to a prayer-filled life, someone might wonder. What value is there in that, in this crazy mixed-up world? Well, first of all, before we answer that question, we need to take a look at what is prayer. Let me tell you, first of all, what it's not. Prayer is not a mechanical program to be used to get my way. It's not coming to God simply with my laundry list of demands. It's not like popping in a quarter into a pop machine and waiting for the product to come out. It's not like that at all. Let's look at what prayer really is. First of all, prayer is, it's like holding hands with God. It's relationship building. It's taking the time to connect and spend time with the Heavenly Father. It's recognizing and discovering who He is and how great He is. Someone has once described prayer as being enfolded into God and God enfolded into us, like holding hands. There's a pastor that I enjoy reading some of his materials. His name is Bill Hybels, and he writes on this particular thought. Prayer has not always been my strong suit. He says, for many years, even as a senior pastor of a large church, I knew more about prayer than I ever practiced in my own life. I have a racehorse temperament, and the tugs of self-sufficiency and self-reliance are very real to me. I didn't want to get off the fast track long enough to find out what prayer is all about. But the Holy Spirit gave me a leading so direct that I couldn't ignore it, argue against it, or disobey it. The leading was to explore, study, and practice prayer until I finally understood it, so I obeyed. I read 15 or 20 major books on prayer, some old, some new. I studied almost every passage on prayer in the Bible, and then I did something absolutely radical. I prayed. It has been 20 years since I began taking time to pray, and my prayer life has been transformed. The greatest fulfillment has not been the list of miraculous answers to prayers I've received, although that has been wonderful. The greatest thrill has been the qualitative difference in my relationship with God. And when I started to pray, I didn't know what was going to happen. God and I used to be rather casually related to one another. We didn't get together and talk very much. Now, however, we get together a lot, not talking on the run, but carrying on substantial soul-searching conversations every morning for a good chunk of time. I feel as if I've gotten to know God a lot better since I started praying. Bill Hybels discovered prayer is about relationship building. There's a fellow named John DeVries who wrote a wonderful little book that our congregation has been reading of late. It's entitled Why Pray. And he describes praying as sitting on God's lap. Listen to this. My wife and I are blessed with 13 grandchildren as of this writing. The oldest is 10, and 10 of them are boys. In that crowd is a 6-year-old Andrew, whose other set of grandparents, Nana and Papa Dykstra, are dairy farmers in Nova Scotia. When he turned 6, Andrew spent a week with Nana and Papa Dykstra on their farm, helping, quote, in the barn and on the tractor. Of course, Nana and Papa doted on him, as loving grandparents will, telling little Andrew they just couldn't imagine how they got along on a farm without him. When he left at the end of the week, their accolades rang in his little ears and his head was swollen with pride in how he had helped them. They called regularly, and each phone call ended with talking to Andrew and asking when he could possibly get back and help him out on the farm. It was so hard without him, they said, although they were getting by, but they could hardly wait. Well, little Andrew took this seriously, so seriously that in his prayer circle at Sunday school, he offered lengthy prayers asking God to help Nana and Papa because they had so much trouble running the farm without him. How my wife and I laughed when our daughter Mary called and told us this story. But then God nudged me a bit, saying, John, you've been like little Andrew with me. You've treated me like a helper in the sky, thinking that all the work has fallen on your shoulders. You laugh in love at your little grandson's inflated ideas of how he's needed on the farm, but don't you think that I, with love and delight, have laughed at all your exaggerated and puffed-up ideas of importance in my kingdom? Well, since then, I've often thought of little Andrew on Papa's lap, John writes, as they lumbered off the tractor, or lumbered off onto the tractor to do some field work. This image strikes me as a picture of myself in prayer. Prayer is the dependent relationship in which I sit on the lap of my Heavenly Father and put my hand on His as He steers the tractor. After all, He not only owns and drives the tractor, but He also owns the farm. And when the old enemy Satan plays tricks on my mind, tempting me to think I don't matter to God, I ask myself, what experiences on the tractor must have been most memorable for Papa Dykstra? The answer, of course, is that all of the hours spent on the tractor, none were so precious as when he had his little Andrew on his lap, and together they drove out to work in the field. As my Heavenly Father looks back, surely the greatest moments of delight in his relationship with me were when I, in childlike dependence and faith, climbed into his lap in prayer, put my little hand on his big hand, and said, Father, could we drive the tractor over here? Prayer is sitting in God's lap. Finally, prayer is plugging in and getting recharged. I own a cell phone that constantly needs to be plugged in and recharged if it's going to operate for me. But sometimes I get so busy with life and so distracted and think that I don't have time to plug it in, or I forget to do it, that it goes dead on me and it can't do its job. There are times when we need to stop and plug in and get filled up again with the Holy Spirit and get empowered, because we're only human. We cannot run on our own power. There's an old theologian from times past named O. Hollisby that wrote a little book called Prayer that had an impact on my life. And he says, prayer is God coming into us. He says, the book of Revelation has a verse, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and eat with him and he with me. So that alone is a good reason to devote myself to prayer, isn't it? But there's even more. Paul says that it's a means of keeping us alert. He says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it. It keeps us attentive, vigilant, awake to the craziness and needs of the world around us so that we can bring it to the Lord. It reminds us again and again of the greatness and goodness of God as we remind ourselves with gratitude of all that He's done for us in Jesus Christ. It brings into focus the big picture that God is in charge of this crazy world. So are there any other reasons, you might wonder? Well, actually, prayer was not an original thought on the part of Paul. We look at Jesus. Jesus himself lived a prayer-saturated life. He was always praying. When the disciples would get up in the morning, they'd have to go find him because he was off spending time in prayer with his Father. Before he chose his disciples, he said he went up on the hill and prayed. Before he took on anything, Jesus prayed, whether it was feeding 5,000 or preparing himself to go to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. Even on the cross as he prepared to die, he was in prayer. Now let me ask you, if Jesus sensed the need to devote himself to praying, why would I as a follower not follow in his footsteps and see my need for it? And we have Jesus in Luke 18 telling the disciples a parable. He said, and the point of it was to keep them praying and to not give up on being men of prayer. And as I said earlier, the Acts Church in the letters in the New Testament, we see constant prayer and messages of saying, we're praying for you, pray for us. I think of my friend Carol. She's a palliative doctor who works with hospice. And she has some pretty serious work that she does. Can really, I suppose, get a person down day in and day out. And if you ask Carol, how do you do this? How do you do it so well? She would point to her prayer life. She is one of the most prayerful persons I know. She's devoted to it. She prays with her patients, and she prays for her patients, and she prays for herself to be used by God. And what an impact she's making in her life in this world. So, what does it take to devote yourself to prayer? How do I get going on something like that? Well, here's a few nuts and bolts to cover. First of all, find a quiet place for yourself. And then set a time each day to meet with God. Make an appointment. Write it on your calendar if necessary. And then keep the appointment. Don't stand God up. He's waiting for you. And if you're wondering, well, what are we going to talk about? Here's a structure for you that has worked for me. It's the ACTS acronym. A means adoration. I begin my prayer time in adoration, telling God, I love you because. Reminding myself, you see, at that time of how great God is. If you can't think of reasons for loving God, go to the book of Psalms. Use Psalm 103 or any of the great praise psalms. Then I move to confession. C is for confession. Lord, I'm sorry for. And I do an inventory of the past hours. Times when I've fallen short of being that loving person God's called me to be. And then I move to thanksgiving. That could go on and on as I think of all that God has done for me in my life. T is for thanksgiving. And then finally, S means supplication. That's where I turn to God and I ask for his help. That's where I lift up people that matter, that I'm trying to minister to. I pray for his church. I pray for his kingdom to come. I pray that he would use me. I pray for his help in those things that I'm struggling with in my own life. Sometimes I find it hard to focus, and so I've learned along the way to slow myself down. I write a letter to God, and I'm amazed at how that helps me to stay focused on him. And then there are prayer partners. This is a letter, by the way, to a community that Paul wrote, knowing that there's power in praying together. So the emphasis today, that the appeal I'm making to you, is devote yourself to prayer. In this crazy mixed-up world, it's God's great gift to you and me to keep our heads on straight. There's joy and strength and peace that awaits each one that will turn to him in prayer. My last encouragement for you to pursue a prayer life is remember who you're praying to. It's one who is devoted to you, who made you in his image, who knows you through and through, who loved you so much he gave his son to die on a cross for you so that you could have the privilege of having a relationship with him and meet with him in prayer. This God who is so devoted to you is throwing you and me a lifeline saying, devote yourself to spending time with me in prayer. So if you're feeling a little crazy these days or a little empty, I suggest to you, maybe it's time to pray. Amen. So let's pray now. Father, this can be a crazy mixed up world, and we do sometimes get anxious and fearful and short-sighted. And you've given us this wonderful gift to commune with you and find peace and strength and wisdom in prayer. We thank you, O God, for that privilege. Help us, Lord, from this day forward to be a people that love to pray. In Christ's name, amen. As you go on your way now, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you stay alert to the craziness and needs of the world around you. We are excited to announce an addition to our radio station lineup. If you know someone living in the Winona, Minnesota area, especially if they are in need of a Sunday morning worship service, invite them to listen to 1380 AM KAGE from 7:30 to 8 a.m. for Christian Crusaders. Listeners can also hear us anytime on the internet at christiancrusaders.org. Christian Crusaders has been blessed throughout the history with generous and faithful listeners who have supported this ministry with their prayers and financial gifts. If you are able to do so, please consider making a contribution to this ministry so that we can continue to grow and serve, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to listeners across the country. Please address your letters of support to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. If you'd like to receive a CD or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We are happy you were able to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.